I'm on a mission to help make coaching easier. We started with adults, and the main reason that I started with adults was because it was easier. It was easier than working with kids than working with parents and doing all of the admin that's required in there. So then the secondary part of that was, if we can teach adults good information, high quality information that I was starting to learn on the AVP and training with USA Volleyball and then playing with all of the international teams and under the international coaches, I said, man, the conversations that all my buddies are having back home are not even close to what we're talking about at this level. It's like they're completely different departments. And I thought that there was something wrong with that. And I thought, hey, we can somehow make a bridge here between the two conversations so that at least when you first start the sport or you're a few years into it, you get a roadmap. You know where you're going a little bit more. And if we equipped all of the adults with all that information, I thought that, hey, we can now filter that down to the kids because most kids who end up learning the game, they actually ask an adult. Right? They're getting coached by somebody. Or for me, I had a mentor who turned into a best friend. He was my coach, turned into my best friend, but he was 20 years older than me. And so he was the guy that I was looking to for the best information. And then I go overseas and then I start training under USA Volleyball. And I'm like, oh God, what this guy was teaching me was way off. He got me to a certain level, but then if I kept following his advice, it would not have allowed me to get the finishes that I got on the AVP and then eventually FIVB and all of that. So that's what helping adults turned into. That was one of the benefits of doing it. And along the way, I was running all of the classes, I was doing all of the camps. I imagine that's a lot like some of you, where you're running everything and then you say, you know what? More kids are signing up. More people are signing up to be a part of my programs. Okay, now I need another person that I trust. And then how many people in your neighborhood, in your sphere of influence, do you actually trust to run a volleyball practice at the level that you could? Right. So that's one of the reasons. It's how do we train other people to put out our knowledge, our service, our product? And in the beginning, I thought that that was really difficult, if not impossible. I was like, there's no way that I could teach somebody to coach the way that I coach because it comes to me. There are these little flashes where I'm like, okay, that's how that drill has to be fixed. And we've got two beginners and three advanced people, and then, some co-ed players on the same court. Like, there's no way that I could replicate this for somebody else the way that I do it in the moment. And then all of my business coaches said, you have to. Period. You have to learn how to do it so that you can grow the game. Because if it's stuck inside of me, then I can't help anybody the way that I want to help. And then the knowledge or whatever systems that we've had that we've created and we've got a pretty successful program, it can't get to anybody else if I don't find a way to start writing it down. So I had to start writing everything down. And then once I wrote it down, I had to write why. And what the scenario was, right? Like, okay, we had this beginner. They were the only, maybe you guys know the difference between this. The beginner, we call them level ones. We have a beginner that's a level one and a beginner that's a level two. A level one beginner is someone who we consider is a beginner, but has never played a ball sport. And so they're a real beginner, like a real drill killer. Okay. Then there's the beginners that we had that have played ball sports that are kind of athletic. If you get like a D1 college football player showing up to your adult class, they're on a different planet than the beginner who has never touched a ball before and is just trying to be athletic for the first time. So those are the pains that I had to go through. And then I started writing everything down, putting it into coach manuals, and I've started building this video course. And I had to be able to teach for our camps. Once we started having 10, 11, 12 coaches, I had to go around and make sure that one of the hardest switches for me was coaching coaches instead of players, right? Even though there are AVP players, FIVB players who are working for me or under me for a few days or a few weeks at a time. There's a product and a service in a way that I want to put out that I think is quality, and I know one way works, one day doesn't, one way doesn't. There are certainly like multiple ways to skin a cat, right? But there are definitely things where it's wrong and you can't continue it, and you see it, and you realize that players are shutting off with a certain attitude, players shut off with certain words, or a lack of engagement will turn them off. So I had to train people's eyes to look for them, and the more I jumped into practices and just kind of took over, the more it turned to trash, because the person who I needed to teach so that he could do that next time or the next day or the next hour, he wasn't learning anything if I didn't give him the why, right? So I had to really start training coaches, and in that, we started creating camp manuals. We started creating coach manuals, writing down all of our philosophies and theories, and techniques, and everything that has helped us get to the point where we are, where we've got a few hundred thousand followers and hundreds of members, and a average 5-star rating across all of our services. So we're doing something right, and I want to be able to try to share that with you guys. And that's what this new Complete Coach Academy is. Okay. We're going to start it. These few meetings aren't going to be like diving too far in. I'd rather go through some of just the pain points that everybody submitted on the forms and just announce, like, maybe you can just switch on and say, okay, that's me too. That's me too. That's me too. Or, oh, I don't have that problem. I've actually figured it out. And then, I'm gonna, for the players, for the people who are already members, you've got access to the whole library. So a lot of that for our coaches is very much the same. But now we're just dividing it. And if you don't know our programs, I apologize if I'm skipping ahead. But you've got access to a big library, courses and drills specific to each skill, specific to each strategy, and it shows you a tutorial, and then it gives you a couple of drills to do. And then those players post them, they video them, they post them to our private group, and then we go in there and critique, right? So we've got four of us that can go in there and critique at any time. And we make a mandate for our coaches within 24 hours, somebody who's posted has to get coaching. And we try to stick to that as hard as possible. Now, with the coach program, we're going to divide those communities. So we're going to say, okay, now we've got a program specifically for coaches, because the same technique problems, if your coach is here, you probably know technique. You know sound technique. You're struggling a little bit with how to teach it, how to get it across to 20 people on the same court who've got completely different levels, and now you've got to divide a lesson plan. That's a bit of what I'm reading in the pain points. So our problems, our private community, and these meetings, which are going to happen on Tuesdays, okay, they're going to be about problem solving all of that. How do I train my coaches? Is there a best or a better way to teach a certain technique? Does anybody have any cool phrases or easy ways to say different things? For me, the lucky part about getting to watch so many coaches coach and then learn under so many is that I've got this massive tool belt. So if I throw 11 things at one player and he's still not getting it, I've got 11 more, and he might get it on my 20th phrase. Whereas when I was just starting early, coaching in like my early 20s, I had one or two ways of saying something. And if he didn't understand that, if you guys have ever tried to speak a second language in another country and you only had like one or two words to try to make somebody understand something or help them understand something,
Totally.
you reach an impasse. So that's the benefit of what these masterminds are going to be. I'm going to share the ways that we've been successful, but at the same time, the way that it's going to work best is if you guys are always also sharing with each other the way that you're successful and little wins that you've had. And then piece by piece, we're going to build together a big giant recorded video course. So, essentially, the meetings, I'm going to go through 15 to 20 minutes of a lesson, almost podcast style, and then we'll just open the floor up to everybody's problems, issues, Q&A from whatever that lesson plan was. Okay. And so this is how we're going to build the recorded version of the coaching volleyball course. If you've looked in your library, and you signed up for the coach side of it, then you should see coaching volleyball. It's got three or four lessons already. And I apologize in advance, I get kind of long-winded when I'm alone looking at a computer and trying to cover a topic. So some of them are like 30, some of them are 40 minutes. And I know from the Complete Player program, the longer the video, the less likely people are to finish the program. So I've got to like maintain attention and shorten those up. I'm working on it, trying to get better. And that's what this is for. That's what this is going to be. It's going to be for club directors, for coaches, and for us to share ideas of what works and how to solve problems with and for each other. It's going to involve all the courses that we already have in terms of like making sure you guys know technique and you learn what we're learning at the highest level of the game. And I'll share some of, when I coach my AVP guys, I'll share some of why we chose a certain tap tactic in a match. I talk a lot about last summer where we were able to get three teams their highest finishes in the AVP. And it was just a couple of simple changes. And I'd like to share those wins, but I'd also like to hear wins from you guys. So just from before we move on, we're going to kind of open the floor, but I do want to share some of the pain points that everyone here is going through, or everybody who filled out that form to join the newsletter. One person wants practice planning for both indoor and beach that accommodates all different age groups. And that's something that we've already talked about, but we will dive into like making sure that we do that. So if that was you, you're in the right place. Somebody just moved to a smaller town, not a lot of talent or experience, and it's frustrating to people to have people who just don't want to do what it takes to get better. Motivation is the moral of that story. And how do I motivate players, especially I think today's crop of kids who they can't disappear into their backyard with a ball. They disappear into their room with a phone. When I was growing up, maybe when you guys were growing up, you got bored, you just throwing a ball against the wall. And that's how we developed our athleticism in our sport. Now, and I tell parents and coaches this all the time, like if you don't have to forcibly rip the ball out of your kids' hands, I don't think you should be thinking about them going D1, them going to college, them going to the next level. As a coach, you have to know which one of your players is the obsessed one and how to feed them, but then how to meet the other players where they are. Right? Because if you constantly have friction of trying to get people where they haven't showed you that they want to be there, it's going to be a struggle for you. You're going to be unhappy. You have to know where each of your players are. And luckily, like with our adult programs, we have plenty of people that are just there to get in shape, to breathe from family, from work. And then there's a whole slew of other things. We've had people who've lost 80, one guy who lost 140 pounds just because he wanted to play volleyball, and that was his goal. He's like, I want to lose weight, I want to live longer, and I like volleyball, and it's something that I kind of know how to do. So I'm just going to be here every day. Okay, we're going to talk to that guy a very different way, right, than somebody who says, I'm going D1. Right? Because this guy, we're just, all right, hey, dude, you should be sprinting when you're shagging balls. And literally, Dan Bybee, he always peered around the beach, looked for the farthest ball he could find, and sprinted every single time. That was his rule. And yeah, he dropped 80 pounds, which was pretty insane. Another one is not having enough time. We don't practice often enough due to the girls playing indoor club at the same time as high school beach. So that I can understand, and that's something that I hope our programs over time help develop, where you can give video homework and the same homework that I kind of give you guys. I'm going to say, hey, this is our free video of this on YouTube. Send this to your girls before they show up to practice. That way, you don't have to spend the 15 minutes, 10 minutes. If you're spending 10 or 15 minutes explaining a drill, it's too long. But that way, you don't have to spend the time at practice explaining all of the theories. You say, hey, watch this on your way to practice, or make sure that you cover it. And then we're going to hit the ground running at practice. And that way, we don't waste too much time. That's a goal. We also have, we're going to have three tiers. Like the monthly people won't have access to these live meetings. If you sign up for the full year, which is the $3.99, then you'll have access to the live meetings. And if you sign up for the Elite Club membership, it's a big price, but it's a lot. So it's 15,000. for the elite club membership, and that's where I'll meet with you privately. Okay, and a lot of private meetings. We're going to give you all that tutelage, but every person in your club is going to have access to our library, every staff member you have, and then me and or Brandon are going to come to your club for 3 days, and we're actually going to, if you guys have watched like Bar Rescue, we're going to see how you guys run a practice. Then we're going to take your coaches through practices, and we're going to take your kids through practices. And then as you're coaching your kids, as you and your staff are coaching your kids, that's when we're going to come and coach you, not coach your kids. So we'll do a combination of us working with you, working for you, and being consultants. And that's what that big package is. And I think we're only going to have room for maybe five per year because it is a full weekend. So for us, it's a full 4 days plus all the planning and everything. If you're interested in that, that's not the point of this. But if you're interested in that, let me know. We could set it up. When you do the math, it becomes if you have 25 or more people in your club, it becomes less right after 25 than doing a 3 day camp with us anyway. Plus, you've got all the private meetings and you've got the access for your entire club. Again, not the point of this meeting. Just want you guys to let you guys know that that's what I'm interested in doing. I'm so much more interested in talking about coaching and leadership than I am the regular bump set spike. Okay, it's more fun for me to do the psychology and the leadership of it and some business strategy too. A lot of people want new drills and new tips. One person very specifically said, I want to do drop blocks, getting roll shots, and teaching juniors how to not block and how to dig shots when they're getting beat up. I think a lot of people get obsessed with putting their blocker at the net because they see it at the pro level and then they get stuck too much. But we should be double down a lot. We should be peeling our blockers a lot. We should have excellent hand diggers. And Han says he needs some systemic long-term plans. I like that because we've got a whole season plan built already for you. It's a little template that I'm happy to share with you guys. It includes what you should be working on in the weight room, what you should be working on in terms of skill development during certain times of the year, and then if you can control your practice and training rhythm, how many practices and how many weightlifting sessions you should do during each time of the year. Okay. And then, yeah, lack of staff and funding is something that I'm very, very interested in tackling. I would love to. There's really just easy cheat codes to say, how do we create staff where we have none? And if you guys have never, if you're worried that you don't have an assistant coach and you've never once asked your parents to shag or to toss a ball with two hands, that's going to be your very easy start. So many parents want to get involved, want to be there, or sitting there bored at the practice anyway. They're scrolling through their own Instagrams and they would love to be a part of helping their kid. Like, I know this from my family, from my brothers. And my brother was one of the guys that like had the courage to actually go up to the coach and say, hey, do you need me to help feed or throw in balls or run anything? Because he's seeing a practice with 16 girls, one coach, and lines of eight people. And when I went to observe the practice, it was 6 minutes to one touch. So we're going to talk about reps per minute a lot. And we're going to see how we can maximize that in terms of when we're running drills and running practices. But one of the easiest things that you can do is you or have a parent follow one kid, well, two kids, the kid that you think gets a lot of touches and the kid that you don't think gets many touches. Follow them and then just count the minutes and then just observe them for 5 minutes and see how many times they touch a ball. In indoor, if you're not running practice the right way, this can be a mess where you realize all of a sudden that one kid went 13 minutes of your training session without even touching a volleyball, right? Likewise, if you're sitting there and you've got long lines in a 2-on-2 practice and your drill is not designed in a way that gets people everybody their touches, that's going to be a waste of their time as well. How do we increase that? Well, there's different ways to like change up the lines, change up the drills, change up the patterns, make players into coaches, and then make your parents into coaches. And all you have to do is teach them how to feed the right way, have an agreement with them that they'll keep their mouths shut about stuff that they don't know about, right? And be like, hey, if you are the coachy type, this is the only thing that we are going to talk about with them. It's just a thumbs up or an We don't want to give a thumbs down to a kid, might break their heart, but basically a pass or fail litmus test. Did they do this? And don't say, oh, and make sure you, no, parent, stop. You've got one thing. And so then you get to become a manager of coaches in your program when you can focus people's eyes, focus people's visual attention on certain things. Okay. So I recognize that there's pain points. I recognize that coaching is not easy. It's filled with stress. It takes a lot of our time and often for not a ton of reward, financial reward, future. But most coaches are in it for, I think, what are the right reasons to provide a way for kids to get better, to actually enjoy your sport and to be around it. Most of us are definitely around it because we're like, well, I know how to do it and I get to get outside and I get to help kids, right? Or I get to help people or adults. And it's my favorite sport. So why wouldn't I? But then when it becomes an emotional and a time suck where you're like, how much benefit am I now getting out of this emotionally or financially? And if you're not getting the enjoyment out of it that we should, then that's why I want you here to see if we can reinvigorate that and find ways to make it easier for you guys. So that's what we're going to be doing over, the bulk of this should start now. Any questions you guys have immediately, problems you'd like to solve immediately or that we can talk about now, or questions about what the rest of this is going to look like.
I'm a club coach, beach club coach, middle school, high school kids, mostly girls. Yeah, we're kind of just struggling with skill gaps, right? We've got so trying to make it competitive for, each level of players. So we've got very few at the top, then we got a big gap with a bunch of, group of other kids, and then we got another gap. And so we get a mixed bag of practices sometimes, and we're trying to, like, some of the more advanced players they get kind of bummed out when they come and they don't have a competitive practice. I mean, that's one of the struggles that we face right now, and just trying to get everybody strategy to make it competitive and challenging for everybody. It's kind of a where
Okay.
we're at.
So here's one thing that I will definitely give you that's easy, one of those easier sets. How many times have you called in, and you guys are going to get an email about this relatively soon? It's called a compliment player. You guys know what I mean when I say a compliment player. A compliment player is, so I used to run a lot of private lessons, but a private lesson for a coach on one is garbage. You can't do game-like drills, right? There's nothing game-like about it. So the level of advancement that you could have when things don't simulate a game, when a ball's not flying over the net, right? You're going to have a limited ceiling, right there. So what I had to start doing early was getting my Rolodex, and I started a big WhatsApp group of people who I knew loved reps, right? And people who I knew could serve and set consistently. Didn't matter if they're kids, college kids, adults, people who just liked getting the workout. But these were the people who like volleyball so much, like getting out so much that, yeah, I'll come out and set 100 balls in a half hour. That sounds great to me, right? So I started a list of those people. And then anytime I got a private lesson, I say, hey, do you want anybody else in your private lesson? And I explain that game reps are better. So if I'm serving from the other side of the net, that's 100% better than me serving from your side of the net or from a box, right? If I'm hitting at you, you pass, and then I set you. Well, guess what? Now I can't really give you my eyes. I can only give you reps, or I can like kind of get a feel for what you did, but I can't be extremely detailed unless I set up my video stand and then we have to break for some videos. Okay. So we have to figure out a way to, number one, look through your community, figure out, you've got to know, Stefan, you've got to know the volleyball junkies in your community. Like, no doubt you've got at least a few in mind right now. And just say if they can beat or challenge those girls. Be like, hey, assistant coaches, even if you invite them for the last half hour so that your top teams are scrimmaging against, some local adult men's teams, That's a good answer. Or they always square off against each other. So anytime your top teams come against it, everybody knows that top teams are going to scrimmage against the coach or complement players, right? And of course, we're talking if you've got maximum court space, that's always convenient. But if you've only got one court, yes, it becomes tougher. You just got to find a way to get them then partnered. So now you've got assistant coach complement players for their small group, for their group of three or four. All right, so if you guys are running private lessons ever, please use complement players if you can. Save your bodies, number one. If you're the person that's been out there for 7 or 8 hours and you're fried and dehydrated and you've got the purple tan because you've been out there too much, right? Get somebody that can stop you from taking all of the reps. We should know as coaches that if we're getting more volleyball touches than our players, we're doing something quite wrong. So if you find yourself hitting down ball after down ball after down ball while a group of players is rotating, you are getting more reps than every one of your players. So that's the point where you give the ball to a player and you say, "Hey player, your coach for the next 3 minutes, you're going to chip in float serves or spikes." And that's just one way to start you not getting more reps than your players. But anyway, Stefan, start building that mental Rolodex and then start building your WhatsApp group of volleyball hungry people, college kids, adults who just love the game, and then see if you can, bring them out for a day. See if they like it. You never know. You might end up getting a bunch of volunteer coaches just because people want to get outside. Like, how many adults are just desperate to get an invite from somebody to be outside near a volleyball court? There's a lot of them.
Totally. A lot of them try to they can't find four, right? So we get two of them out there and they can play against our girls. That's a great idea. So
One other solution to that is, have you ever looked at our level testing page?
no.
So we do these at our camps as well, and it's a way our way of assessing if players have control of the game physically, and then what their knowledge base is. So it's a written test, but it's also a physical test, right? And it becomes a solution for when we divide courts by skill. We say, "Well, have you passed the level three test?" "No." "Okay, that's your step." If you guys need to find a way to say why people aren't playing, why people aren't starting, et cetera, or you just want to give them actual homework to do at home, you say, "You go and you do these videos until you can do these videos." Right. And they tell you how many times you have to do it, like 7 out of 10, 5 out of 10 for certain accuracy skills and everything. So those videos will take you through that. Level two is pretty easy. It really just shows that you've been at a volleyball practice. And you know how to hold your hands. But then level three gets tougher, four gets tougher, five gets tougher. And it keeps going up from there. And then you as coaches can develop your own sort of rating or challenge system or obstacle course to say, like, "Oh, my kids really want something to do at home. They want to know how to get better, or they want a challenge." And I also, if I'm not going to keep score and keep a cauldron system at my practice, I need to have a reasoning why somebody's the number one team, why somebody's the number two team, et cetera. So it will also help in those discussions.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
I've got a question for you, Mark.
You're on your way to a match right now, right?
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, I got a hard stop in 11 minutes. We got to take off.
Kicking butt.
But one of the questions I have is, I don't think I'm really good at addressing players the right way. For example, like if I see a girl that has really bad passing technique, I'll take her aside and be like, "Hey, I notice when you're trying to pass the ball, you're actually jumping up out of the sand." And she nods her head up and down. She says, Yes, I know I do that." I said, "Okay, so please stop." Okay, and she'll nod her head, yes. And she'll go back and the first time she gets served, she'll do the same thing over again. So what do I need to understand to help my players connect the dots in their heads on their own, rather than like me being like an enforcing parent, like enforcing the rules of practice?
Sure. One of the best solutions that I found is the yes, no, maybe question. So you basically assign, you tell all your players, "Hey, this is what we're trying to do. This is what we're trying to make sure that we do. All I'm going to ask you after every rep, whether you do it or not, is yes, no, maybe, or yes, no, I don't know, or yes, no, maybe, right? Have them try to discover it for themselves. And that way you don't have to coach. You've given one singular goal, right? You said, you go get it. However, you got to figure it out, you go get it, and then say yes, no, maybe. Right. Then they start paying attention to that. Because a lot of times we like take a look at our past and that's all that our mind focused on, where it went, instead of what our technique was doing. Right. So that's one way. And then if that's not working for you, we do spectrum or JM at camps. He calls it contrast training. Right. Send them to one end of the spectrum for that. So if it's holding their hands together, tell them to hold their hands together before the server serves. Then, on the next 10 reps, tell them to put their hands together at the same time that the ball hits their arms. Ask them to figure out then what's comfortable, because most of the times that we have to repeat phrases as coaches or repeat things, it's because our player thinks that they're almost there. And so since they're almost there, they give you another like 2% of effort or change. And then to us, it looks exactly the same. It's like, no. If I ask you to pass a ball higher, my dream is to have the player that hits the ceiling right on the very next pass. Great. At least I know you can make the change, and that you're hearing me. And I'll ask you to bring it back down, but that never happens to us as coaches, right? Nobody makes the change too far from where they are because they all think that they're pretty close to having it right. So what we do is we set these giant boundaries on the other side and we say, do it as hard as you can this way, then do it as hard as you can this way. So if you're telling her that she's jumping too much, I want you to actually tell her to like make sure that she doesn't have her feet on the ground when she passes, right? Or, squat jump with her pass. And then the other way, what's the opposite of going up? Okay, now you need to actually sit and fall down every time that you pass. Once they feel both ends of the spectrum, they'll usually find their own comfort zone, but until they experience the complete other side, they don't know how much they have to change. Okay. And there's, I don't know if you guys know Kim DiCello. She used to be Kim McGibbon. She played at Santa Clara, and her coach had this problem in college. And she said she spent like 2 or 3 weeks having to sit down and roll backwards after every single pass. And she got so sick of it, but it stopped her from doing that bunny passing where she was just jumping on each one, right? Did she have to like actually sit back and roll down after each pass? No, but obviously we needed to stop that bleeding, so we had to go in the opposite direction, and she had to feel what that was like in order to make the change. Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Mark.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, my name's Leroy. I'm a teacher, so I got Mr. Taylor going. I am a high school beach coach. I'm trying to transition into maybe into the college coach world.
Good luck.
And recently I've found the library for drills and buildups and everything, and it's really helped a lot. So I just wanted to but I and I'm still navigating all the avenues and tributaries that there are, but it's been very helpful. And so I just want to give everyone a I don't know where everyone's level is at in this conversation, but going in there and finding what I needed help with really helped. And so and now I'm just trying to kind of get to the next more serious level, and just maybe I don't know if there's like a so now it's like a I'm looking at like a year-round situation rather than just a couple months in the spring when I'm coaching beach. Now it's going to be full year planning and having making sure that I'm training them to have a higher vertical by the spring or whatever. So it's just a little more serious. So I'm just trying to figure out, yeah, I mean, what's your advice for full year, kind of an off season and a during season? Is there a way to, what's the best way to differentiate that kind of thing?
Yes.
That's too broad.
No, well, I get it. Here, I'm going to share with you guys. So this is the way that I operate. You know how I was telling you guys that I just needed to start writing things down. Everything in my company, the way that I do it is I make the draft that just pours out of my mind. And then I ask somebody in my company to go clean it up, make it look pretty, and do that stuff, right? And then after they give me, so I do the first 20%, they do the middle 60%, I do the last 20%, right? So this here is an example of the first 20%. It's a Google Doc, and it gives you a rundown as if maybe you're a professional player, right? And it's one example. Now, I can't tell you that this is a blanket statement, and I apologize for it being ugly. Like I said, it's my first draft, and I just do it in Excel sheets. Eventually, somebody makes it into a nice workbook, and you guys get something cool. This one, however, is just that ugly Excel sheet. If you were a pro and you had your summer in or your season in the summer, that's kind of what it would look like. Okay. I can't make it blanket because different athletes need different things. This is a very base example of developing a lot of strength in the off season, turning it to speed and game speed right before, making sure that you're doing low jump practices way before season and an off season, and then building up your level of gameplay and jumps, because you can't just jump, 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 jump every day, all practice all year round. You have to design and you have to plan out when you want to be best, what best, where you want to be at your best tournament, and then build backwards from there. Right. So a lot of college teams will say, like, all right, we want to be best at playoffs. But if you're a college team that hasn't gotten to the playoffs for the last 2 years, you need to plan it so that you're at your best for the month before playoffs. Right? Everybody's like, yeah, well, we'll design it for season championships. Like, no, that's not the goal for a team that has never gotten to the playoffs. We got to figure out how to get to the playoffs. So we need to peak at our max speed in mid and late season. Right. So that's one of those first draft sheets. And again, I apologize for it being ugly, but it might just like get some ideas flowing for where you could be at certain times of the year, and you know what your overall problems are, right? If you're losing because of passes, then you need to just spend a couple of weeks just passing and setting until that's locked in. And if you've got a 4-year player there and they spend 2 weeks in a row only passing, they're fine. They're gonna get their hitting reps later. They don't need to go from A to Z in their first preseason, right? We've just got to build that. And so if you've got that crop of seniors that's moving out, it's like, all right, well, this isn't our championship season, but I think in 2 years I can build up this squad to be here. Also depends on what star players you have and everything like that. But it's probably what you want to start wrapping your head around is, how do I plan out my season? When do I want to be great? And then, of course, just like any company, what's your 5-year plan? In other words, can you design recruitment? Can you design training and strength building around knowing when you've got a couple real rock stars that you landed in your program, and having them build up to their junior and senior year? Too much? Was that a lot to throw you?
No, that's all very, very good. Yeah. Yeah, love it. And you can
Take a
think
look at
about the
that.
same thing with our high schoolers or our juniors, you know, whoever's is we're gonna have those kids for 4 years too, so we can kinda, you know, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And everything always changes, but the environment changes. And that doesn't mean that we don't plan. It means we pivot when we have to, right? If you, my plans are going to get ruined anyway, things are going to change. I'm going to get new players. I'm going to get twice as many players next year. You still got to design a plan, because a plan is something that you can build off of or deviate from. But if you've got no direction at all, then you don't know which way to redirect. Like if you're floating in space, which way is up, which way is down? You can't even tell. So you need to plan. Then you can choose to deviate from your plan, turn left, turn right, or keep going straight forward. Right. But not planning because you think things are changing so wildly is a big mistake.
Okay, so I'll go next. So I'm Mel. I'm the director of a beach club in Pennsylvania. I'm pretty close to like Eastern Pennsylvania. We started off in 2020 when you know, everything shut down. I took my indoor kids, and I was always a beach player. So I took my indoor kids out and I said, hey, parents, we don't have a club season anymore, but I'm willing to take these kids and play, have them come play beach doubles with me outside. So that's actually how we started, because all the kids fell in love with beach. And so that was our humble beginning, which is 2020. And of course, you're going to come by. The landscapers are coming by. So we evolved through the years in, like, for the last 4 years, like, it's so funny. Every year you just learn, like, what not to do. We're like, let's not do that again. So as we evolved as a club, so we used to do, like, evaluations. So we would evaluate the kid based on, because right now, or at least at the beginning, it was more about finding kids that had volleyball skills, like indoor skills, because there's not a lot of beach here. So we were just looking for kids that had some volleyball knowledge, not necessarily doubles or beach doubles. So we end up having these evaluation, and then there would be like kids that slipped into like the more advanced kids, and they were like drill killers. So we end up having tryouts this year, which was a new addition, which like ticked off a lot of our alumni players, but it was just kind of like last year was a disaster with kids kind of just goofing off, and my coach is not having the confidence to tell them to knock it off and go do laps or, and I was doing a lot of admin, so I had to step back from coaching. So this year I took less players and I'm coaching the national team. Oh.
I'm proud of you for making the decision to take less players and less
Yeah.
dollars in the door to increase your quality.
No.
It's a nightmare of people who get too many players and their club and coaching quality goes straight down because they don't have the number of people that can teach confidently. So
Well, that's what happened last year.
well done
Yeah.
to downsize and then rebuild. I like that.
Right. And it's just like when I would come, like, show up a couple of practices, and I would see not what I don't want my name on that kind of
Sure.
thing.
Yep.
So, you know what I mean? So, yeah. So I took a step back. We had, did tryouts. We only took 40 players this year. We have a nationals team and a regional team, and we were trying to do a futures team. But the parents did not like that title of that training group. So they got very offended when their kids were on the futures team, which it really wasn't. They're still getting the same amount of training. They're just like little guys, they're in middle school. They need, time to get out there, So anyway, so that was a learning. So we won't have a futures team next year. We'll call it something else. So, but it'll be the middle school kids. But so my goal right now, because we don't have a lot of beach here, is I'm training our coaches to coach. So that's kind of like where I'm coming to you to coach me so I could coach them. I have a gift like working with them, because I will never co call a coach out or anything like that. I'll just kind of step in and show one of the players like how to do something. Because I think too, one of the problems is that the game has evolved so much that people are kind of stuck in what we used to do. And I look at more of like the European game as opposed to the American game, on what to teach my kids. And like the coaches are, they're still kind of stuck in that old way of thinking, So I'm in the process of trying to find. They tend to be old. Yeah, the young kids are like, my younger coaches are the ones that are evolving with me. The older coaches don't quite understand where I'm coming from. But yeah, so I'm coaching coaches right now, and I have my squad. So that's why I thought it'd be nice to get involved in something like this, because then I can help them help me. Because that's really what it is. I need to help them help me. So.
Okay. This is something that we're going to build all of us piece by piece because I'm going to give you guys my coaching manuals and like all of our PDFs over time. To give you them all at once would just be a headache. You'd kind of scroll through and then you wouldn't know where to start. But I want you guys to, by the end of this, so if you stick with this and all the way through the end of August at least, I want you guys to have your own coach manual, right? So where is it? This isn't my coach manual. This is my player manual. Okay. It's pretty thick. And this is about half of what's going into it because the way that I edit better and read better in order to send it back is like a manual and then I write on it and then I have a phone call. So over time, if you're trying to bring on new coaches, they need to learn your system. They need to teach the way you teach them. And there needs to be a progressive nature of people in your club. In other words, like, okay, by this age, this is what they've got to have locked down. And these are the key words that they've got to know so that we, our club speaks the same language, right? Or our team speaks the same language. And if you don't have your coaches speaking the same language, then the players will for sure not speak the same language. And then there's no progression over time. And then if you need one sub coach or somebody's life changes, then your kid resets back to zero from this whole new like learning philosophy from a different coach instead of being able to progress. So one of the things that we'd like to have you start building is your coach manual. So first piece of homework, do you have one? You have one?
Yeah, I do. I do all my, I do everything on SharePoint. And I share it with my coaches. So like all my practice planning and where we're, cause like we have three squads right now. We have regionals, we have advanced beginners because we have beginner beginners and then we have advanced beginners. So, and then we have our national team. So each squad has at least one head coach and like two assistants like to help out. And we do have two like courts. So yeah, I have a SharePoint library, like a document library that I build on.
Nice.
And it's just more so I can go back. I think that's what you mean. So I
yeah,
have
for sure.
Like references.
Just remember that some of your coaches will like tangibles better.
Yeah.
And some of them will like, no, I do everything in my phone. That's something that I had to learn from customers. Like some people needed something to hold and some people would refuse to write with a pen. They're like, no, I do it in my notes. But before practices, there should be a team huddle, right? And that's what we do at our camps. Our coaches huddle before each day of practice is we say, hey, here's what we're going over today. Does anybody see any problems? Has anybody been experiencing any issues lately? Like those check-ins with your coaches to know about what's going on with the players in your club, players on your team. Those are big because even if you're in the same gym, an assistant coach will hear different things than the head coach will completely, right? And so like he'll know that she just went through a breakup and head coach won't. And head coach will start like pounding on her when she's at her absolute mental worst, right? So there needs to be a steady flow of communication. So if you guys do have assistant coaches, if you have complement players, complement coaches, one of the most important things that I could recommend is making sure that you have a huddle with your coaches beforehand. And then what we do is I just open the manual. And if I don't have anything new to teach, because I know it's like my old guard, then I'll say, hey, let's give an example of this key from the coaching manual. Give me an example of one time that you increased reps per minute on a drill that wasn't working for you. Okay, great. That way everybody learns, everybody gets a quick refresher, a quick tip for the group, and then they go forward. But if they're not meeting before each practice and having a mind meld situation or at least getting on the same page for language, that needs to happen. It's very similar to a company, any team. We just got to get everybody on the same page beforehand.
Yeah, and we do like with my team, like I email the practice plan to them.
Yes.
And then we have it like on our phones, like we all, because we'll separate the groups. So we have it all on our phones, like the practice plan. So we email each other, or I email them. They don't email me back, but you know, so I email it all to them. This is what we're doing. Does anybody want to change anything? And I always tell them too, like, you know, if it's not working for your group, you know, change it in a way that you think, you know, will work better for you. Or so, yeah, we do. I'm an app developer too. So we have daily scrums. So I do a scrum with my coaches. Yeah.
I'd say then from what I've seen, you know, nationwide, you're ahead of the game. So you're definitely like on the right track, keep going. And then throughout the next few months, let's see what we can add on or new fresh ideas that we can have. But having a coaching manual with practice plans with your language keys in it, that's massive. Good start. Okay.
One thing she Linda mentioned was horseplay and goofing off. And I took this out of your playbook, Mark, but we had the same issue and we were just getting frustrated. But we never told them what we expect from them. So we wrote out over a weekend, here's what we expect. Here's things we don't do. You don't talk in a huddle. You don't talk when we circle up. You know, you can have a quick chat on your water break. No phones, period. So we put all those things together. We had the kids sign them. We went over it at a practice, make sure everybody understood. And that changed the game hugely for us and our practices. But I heard it from you. You said, hey, if you haven't, you haven't told your kids what you expect from them, then you can't expect anything. You can't expect them to do what you want. So that was one thing I thought really helped, that we put that in our playbook.
Yeah, we had to have player contracts too, because of all the, you know, you just got to set expectations. And then the other thing that we do at practices for the kids, we give them a 10-minute water break, like in the middle, so they can have social time. And that's their time to like talk and do all the craziness. Like we
get
give
it
them
out.
A longer like water break. So, because I read that someplace in coaching, that give them a longer like water break so they can get all that talking out of their system, so they can still have like a little bit of the social. But yeah, because I can't, like when I'm explaining a drill, it drives me crazy when they're talking. I'm like, excuse me. So we give them that little like 10-minute, like, so they can get all their goofiness out and all their whatever. So we try to give that to them, you know. And I did read that in somebody, another coach's like manual thing. So yeah, that's a good point. The player's contract, the expectations is a good thing. Even for the coaches is a good thing. So
Last question before we wrap this up. Does everyone here have parent contracts where you tell them exactly what your club does, what your mission is, what the goals of graduating from your program look like, and the parents' expectations to show them? Because if you don't, this is just another example that we're just, you know, translating to a different relationship, right? We absolutely have to have the parents on the same page as us, knowing what our goals are. And then your job as the director is to actually stick to them, right? If you're the club that wins championships at all costs, best players play, period, they have to know that. They have to know that there's, you know, no opportunity for scrubs to get in, right? It's nah. Our best players are rocking, and we might get the next starter in there to get them some experience, right? But this is what we do and we play. If you're the community club, that can be different, but you just have to announce it, right? You have to announce it. And then once you do, you got to make sure that you and your coaches are living by it. I've heard this from several parents where, hey, they say that they're this type of club, but this action doesn't say it. 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 Right. So you've got to choose what club you are, make that announcement. Why does somebody come to your team? It's very much like business training, right? What are the pain points that your club solves when you compare it to all of the other clubs, teams, programs? Why are you different? And then advertise that. Have the parents and players agree to that, knowing that that's why your club exists, right? And then live by that. So that's kind of very like next level. We're going to try to dial it down over the next few weeks and months. But I hope you guys are interested in joining these. If you're on the Elite Player membership, you get access to the player ones, where we go through a lot of video analysis consistently in these meetings and problem solving, like tournament wins and technique wins and everything like that. If you signed up for the monthly, which is $39 a month, you don't get these meetings. But if you sign up for the year, which is the $399 or above, like if you want to go for the all camps package for a player, or if you want us to come and run a camp for you on the coaches page, then you get access to live meetings. But this week, and I think actually next week, we might have to take 1 week off because I'm playing in the dyno the following week. So basically 2 out of the next 3 weeks, we're having these meetings. They're going to be sometime between 10 and 11 o'clock every Tuesday. And then we're going to keep building through that. Okay. And if you guys want to continue to come to these live versions, then all we're going to do is we just switch your membership so that you pay for the full season up front, and then we start going to work. All right. And if you guys do want to talk further about the club-wide program, I'm happy to sit on the phone with whoever just wants to chat about that. But I want to let people go, call this the end of the meeting. And then if you guys have any sort of other questions, I'll sit around here for another 10 minutes. All right. So thank you guys so much for coming. Hope you join. Hope you decide
Thank
to sign up for the year.
you.
If not, hope this meeting helped, and then we can keep rocking forward. And this is what it's going to be like. Lesson, Q&A, problem solving together, and giving you guys a bunch of handouts and PDFs and everything as we build them in new tools.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great
Thanks,
day.
Mark.
See you, Scott.
Hey, I'm a member now, and I'm wondering what's the difference between what I am now and what you want?
Sure. Did you sign up for the 39 a month?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would just be basically we turn that off. And we sign you up for the year, and
Okay.
that's a $399 upfront, and it gives you the
Yeah.
full 12 months of access, 12 months of meetings. I know that most people will probably be interested just around their season,
Yeah.
but the rest of the meetings throughout the year will be available to you anyway.
Okay. So
That's it.
because I what don't I get like similar stuff with what I have now?
Yeah, when you get the 39 a month, then you get the full access to the library, just not these live mastermind meetings.
Okay. So it's just the difference in when we pay.
Yeah.
Okay. All
Yeah. And if you're
right.
going to be around for 12 or 11 months, then
Yeah.
it evens out
Gotcha.
anyway.
Cool.
Plus
Yeah.
a bunch of time together.
Perfect. Thanks. See you
You
later.
are welcome. Yeah, just shoot me an email if you want to make that change. Shoot me an email, mark@betteratbeach, and then I'll call you and we can just do it on the phone.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a question about the elite. So that would give access to our coaches, like all of our club coaches.
All of
All
them. We don't know if that's how we're going to continue the program, but right
of
now
our... Okay.
that's the offer. I know that like Art of Coaching and Gold Medal Squared, then you pay like per coach, kind of like a software or an app. It would be like
Yeah.
enterprise, you pay per person. I'm not interested in doing that
Yeah.
math.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
want to
Yeah.
like, I want to work with five clubs. I want to work closely with them. And
Okay.
yes, all of your staff would get access to the library at our meetings, the you me meetings. Those could
Yeah.
also act as your club's huddles. So we could bring your players
We
into
can
those
bring them in.
meetings.
Okay.
We could bring you and your coaches. We could bring just you. So that's like your private lesson with me to use however you want. Like we could do it as a, hey, let's do a video analysis of your team as a club. So we'll take a look at a few players playing a match. We could do, let's have a coach chat and really discuss. 1 week or 1 month, we're going to discuss passing. 1 month, we're going to discuss setting at a deeper level. And they can use me to ask questions on, or you can just bounce them off of me.
Well, I think it'd be like awesome too to just have like because I feel like I have all of my coaches are probably 30 and under, like kids that oh my kids, but yeah, kids.
Their kids.
That they just got out of college and it just we I'm starved for beach knowledge in our area and finding coaches that have experience. Like we have Nolan Albright come in. We have Chris Vaughn really close, so he comes
Yeah.
once a month. Chase is coming out in July, I think. Chase Frischman. And
Awesome.
then we have so I bring people in because I just want to make sure I'm not like screwing anybody up.
Yeah.
So I just like need to hear, like they come in, they see they use the same language as me and they use, so it's good for my kids to hear. It's good for my coaches to hear that we're not just making this up. So, but then we have Thomas Goldsmith will come out. So they're both Nolan and Thomas are coming out the week before the Rumble, and
Oh,
they're
good
to
timing.
do yeah, they're gonna do grass. So our kids do the Rumble because we live like close to that. So so they'll do that. But I think this is like even be a great opportunity for my coaching staff to have like it be a mediation almost in a sense. Like if they're not understanding something I'm saying, or you know what I mean? Like it'd be like a good way for them to talk about things that they don't understand or they don't agree with.
That's all I do with the AVP guys. Like
Yeah.
I'm just a translator for them. Like,
Right.
I'm just like there for the defender to say, can you tell the blocker to do this?
Right. Right. And that's, that's it's a good thing that keeps a relationship. You got it, you'll be like our therapist. So,
What it comes down to. It really is. And that's what
right.
Travis is now for Try and Came. He's like, like we just got to get them on the same page of communicating with each other, and they won't do it with each other because they communicate in completely different styles.
Yes.
I came like absolutely wants to, I forget which one of them wants to talk about everything and the other one like wants to talk about nothing. Like, why would you need to talk about that? So
Man.
Travis is there to be the translator.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's where I think like that would be kind of a cool thing. And it's something, I want to get these kids excited about beach. We're finally at a point, which is awesome, because like before we had like maybe like the kids, they're just like in the area and they're just jumping in and they're gonna play with us. Now we have like the more elite players seeking us out, which is like this is our first year where we have like this super solid squad. That's just like they, because that's the first year I did tryouts. Because I wanted everybody a chance to like try beach. And then that got super hot and ugly last year because we had some of the kids that were seeking us out to get better and want to be better. And then we had the other kids that were kind of like alumni kids that used it as their rec time in a sense. So, and we like grew double last year to the point, and then I had like somebody who was supposed to do my admin and she flaked out. So I had to do all the admin stuff and it took me away from coaching. It was just a hot mess last year. And that's when I was just like, you know what? We're not taking everybody. We're doing tryouts. You have to be. But our tryouts were amazing. I mean, these kids were ballers. Like, it was so like the good volleyball kids are seeking us out now because they want to play beach. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's good. Like, the word about us is spreading. And these are the kids who are, they want to play beach. They want to do it in college. So now we have those kids coming in
And
that
it can't
are
hurt
just ballers.
that you're bringing big names in, because then all of a sudden that rumor comes around, like, oh my God, like Sanyard is having these professionals, is having the Pottstown champs come and run something. So like
Yeah.
that consistency over the years, like knowing that you're the club that actually invests in bringing those things, where then even people who are not in your club are like, but can I come to that one? And then that's your
Right.
chance to show them what you got, you know? So.
What's super sad is nobody knows the pros here. Like they don't, right? Like, because that's one of the things too,
Well,
we're
the
trying
next
to do
weekend,
like,
then they know. Then they're like,
right.
that's the guy that coached
Yeah, you know
me.
what? It's so cute because the first time Chase came out, which was a couple of years ago, one of our players is like, I was just watching you on TV yesterday. I can't believe I'm here with you. It was so cute. You know what I mean? So I want, like, because we have access to the pros where like other sports don't. So, you know what I mean? Like, we can't get, one of the NBA guys out to come,
I'd say just at a different price point. You had
Yeah.
access to
Well,
them.
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. True. True that. But yeah, so we're trying, I'm doing my best to spread the word here. And I think it's finally starting to take off to the point like we're getting really great players. So I'm super excited. But at the same time too, it's nerve-wracking because I need to get that coaching staff in there too. Like I need these guys to learn, because I can't be there at all times and I'm focused on my national team. And we have a really good regional coach. So he won the Rumble a couple times. So I'm like super excited to have him
Nice.
because at least he's like a doubles player, and he's smart. He's a smart coach. He's a great coach and he's like the heavy. So that's good. Like I'm the confidence builder, but I can be the heavy if I need to be. But, we had too many softies last year that couldn't be the heavy. So I'm excited to have him like a, so we're, like everything is slowly growing. And like I said, we make a lot of mistakes. We're like, oh, won't do that again. We're going to change like, just like the futures. I could not believe how many parents got so pissed off that we put them on a futures team. And it's just the label. That's all it is the label. That's, we call the middle school team the futures because they're like the future, It was
Yeah,
crazy.
we started giving our camp courts animal and color names instead of men's one, men's two.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're a giraffe. You want to move to zebra? Okay,
Yeah.
fine.
And
Yeah, go to zebra.
I think that's what we're doing. I think we're, so the national team is the Scorpions, the regional team were the Sharks, the futures teams were the Sun Bears. But so I think, yeah, you're right. Like just labeling it something that means nothing. You know what I mean?
Which is dumb because
Except
they all
to the
know
coaches.
anyway. It's like,
Coaches.
yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, but they get it after a while.
Yeah, but they also then realize that they should be there, because I even have like a couple of parents. I said, well, my kid should have been on the national team. I'm like, bring her to a national practice to see how she hangs. And then I'll tell like my top players, I'm like, make sure you like laser aim for that player because the parents have to understand we're doing the best for their kid. We want them sometimes to be a big fish in a little pond. She's 13 years old. She doesn't have to come play with the 18Us. Let her be, let her kick some ass.
Yeah.
So, but whatever. But thank you so much. I'm super excited. I could talk to you more about like what we can plan. Because I'm definitely going to push up to the 399 one.
Yeah.
And then I can talk to you a little bit more. I'm so sorry. My clock is anytime there's a squirrel. So,
All good. You
yeah,
gotta
I
always
can talk to you later about that.
Yeah,
But
easy.
I don't want to hog up everybody else's time.
Linda, nice talking to you, Mel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll talk, and then if you go and you sign up for the $3.99 now, I can see it, and I can just switch off the old one as soon as I see it come through.
I'm just trying to figure out like where to do it at. So
Go to betteratbeach.com/team and then click one of the buttons, and then that'll take you to the checkout page where you can select the bubble. Elseg, you got anything for me, brother?
oh yeah, just a quick thing, and then I should have brought it up earlier. Start to coaching. So I coach a small, I have a small group, and the ones that regular comes in kind of knows the drills already and everything, and invited some high school kids, and their skill level is not the same and all, and so instead of being a kind of like a drill filler and everything, I was thinking of like just pulling one of the somebody that kind of knows the drill already and work with them just on specific things, or vice versa, drill go and then I work with the kid and kind of get them up to par before having them jump into the drill itself. And actually, that's one of the challenges up over here is like and I want them to have a good experience, beach and everything. So these are a bunch of indoor kids that are coming in and they're like, oh, I don't do beach. Oh, I don't want to do it. And then when they do try, it's like, man, it's so hard. You have to work a little bit more. There's only you two. You can't hide and all that stuff. So I want coming in to have a experience. So I'm kind of torn that I don't want to neglect the group that's already here
Okay.
and pulling myself out of it and then and vice versa, but I want to pull somebody that, the drill is more of a warm up for them because of their skill level, pulling them up and then working with the newer kids and bringing them up kind of
Sure.
with.
Making sure that people are engaged at different levels, it often comes down to number one, setting the right goals for them. Right. So we have to figure out, for example, I just did a corporate training with Cisco, and the drill was me underhanding, very soft tossing the ball. That person had to pass it, then our pro would set them. And we didn't teach them how to spike. We said, you just need to high five the ball in. And if the other team, who is also pretty low skill, if they can catch it, they get a point. If they don't catch it, you get a point, right? It was so simple. They needed to pass somewhere within a 20-foot window. They're able to get a high five on it. And then, that challenged them enough. And then they kind of got that. So then I said, okay, like now the receiving team, in order to score a point, has to forearm bump it. And then their partner has to catch it. Okay, so now we're playing volleyball. Ball's going over the net. They're getting a bump set spike, and the other team is trying to get a controlled pass and then have some athleticism to go and catch the ball, right? So that becomes for that group enough. And as long as I demo the drill, as long as I demo the drill, and then I say, okay, Elseg, see how it goes? Now you're me. You're the coach for the next 4 minutes, or you're the coach for this match, right? Then you can walk away and leave that court if you design it right. So long as you've got enough balls, so long as you tell people that you're the coach, here are the rules, let's go through the scenario a bunch of times, right? Never explain and then show, and never just explain. Everybody's eyes just kind of glaze over. Nobody understands what you meant or how to like visualize it. So I'm completely done and have been for 5 years with explaining drills. I now show and explain, right? And I use those bodies.
Agreed.
put them in the scenario so that what during my demo, like half of the people that are about to do it, they are the ones, and you were a part of it, right? Now, those are the ones that are half of the drill is built already with them, so they can tell the others where to go. So if you could build that on one court and have them go into the other, that's great. Another really good way, if you've got a couple of weaker players, and I think we played this when you were here, but 5-3 or 10-6, right? We might have played 7-7. Oh, we played 7-7 because you guys played with the pro. So alternating serving teams, and then the receiving team just stays the entire time, right? So if the receiving team stinks, all right, they're going to get worked. They're going to know it. If they're ego people, they'll blame their partner and say, "No way, it was my fault." But
That.
they
Blame
have
an
a plan.
excuse, girl.
Yeah. And then you control partners is the one last thing that I'll say is if you want a beginner to feel what it's like to play with an advanced guy, right? Then you say, all right, hey, James, Joey, you guys are partners for this. Instead of saying partner up, who's next? Right? That works if everybody's around the same level. But if people don't know each other and if they're all different levels, you have to start developing the glue on the team, and you have to say, okay, you two are together. And then you can set, instead of just different goals, you can set different scores. Like, hey, if I know you guys have all been here to practice for the last few weeks, if Joey and Jim, this is their first practice, if they get 3 points on you, they win and they get to stay again, right? That motivates them thinking, we only need to win three. And the better players are like, shoot, we can't lose a single point here. So if we can just set different goals for the right people, we'll be better. But having the same goal all across your team and for every individual doesn't work a lot. There's the same general goal, but then everybody needs their micro goals in that. It works the same way in companies, same way on teams. Right? Individuals need their specific goals in order for the team to reach theirs. Okay. We are heading out of here. So that's all we got for today. I appreciate you guys. If you want to sign up for the year, would love to have you. And if not, then we got 2 weeks together where we can work together and try to get out as many answers as we can. And that's all. See you on the sand.